Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ken McCusick from FilmStudyBaltimore.com is in studio. What's up, Ken?
Life's good, Rob. How about you?
I'm doing well. Ravens coming off a 23-10 win over the New York Jets. Lots of scrutiny in this win, however. Lamar Jackson does not look healthy. Ken, if I could assess Lamar Jackson's health, and I'm not a doctor, I would say he is just healthy enough to play. That's it.
Let's hope that's true this week. You know, a fourth lower body injury in 9 weeks. He's had hamstring. What? Knee, ankle, toe now. So the lack of a read option is really hurting the Ravens in terms of their willingness to run that.
Head, shoulder, knees and toes, knees and toes. I'm sorry, that was a nursery rhyme song.
They don't stick the ball into Henry's belly much anymore with the prospect of taking it out. And this week they had a real chance to do it because the Jets didn't crowd the line of scrimmage. They kind of backed off a little bit, and they had a chance to run the read option, but they weren't able to do it.
Well, it's never a bad time to talk defense. I don't want to switch away from the offense, but I want to do this now because we saw Kyle Hamilton limp off, look like he was hurt pretty badly. Everyone had an oh my God moment there. One of the things I mentioned yesterday was asked Mike Preston, because he's old like me, if you remember Ted Hendricks. Everybody's complaining about Hamilton's, you know, his build, his frame is not going to sustain him in that position, you know, as kind of an outside linebacker. He's 6'4", 220. Mm-hmm. I remember Ted Hendricks, the Mad Stork. He was 6'8", 220. He looked like a twig out there.
An angry goose.
The Mad Stork. Yes, that guy. But he was a linebacker, and he was fantastic. Great career with the Raiders. He played for the Colts, actually, when they were here. Do you have any problem with him, or do you make comparisons like this?
I make comparisons like that. Yeah, I've been doing it regularly the last couple of weeks, actually, on my show, as far as Ted Hendricks being the best comp. Hendricks, actually, I have a 1970 Colts media guide, and they list him at 210 pounds and 6'7".
Wow.
And that's just ridiculous. I had an actuarial student working for me who was 6'7", and he weighed about 235, and he looked like a rake.
Yeah.
He's ridiculous in terms of the amount of leverage he can get. And what we saw in this game, he was pushing around offensive tackles. We talked about that briefly last week, I think. Mm-hmm. He talked about it. But he gets such great leverage that he can get under the pads of these big offensive linemen. It doesn't matter that they're 320 or 315. Yeah. He can push him right back. He had a moment with Simpson, and he had a moment with Armon Membu as well. So just outrageously good players. Outrageously big players.
Well, he made me feel better because I think the listeners must have thought I was nuts, but...
Well, I mean, let me piggyback off of that, though, because we're talking about his size, seeing him get, like, we all did the same thing when he went down twice on, we were like, oh, no, don't let this happen now. The injuries adding up, because clearly, you look at Lamar, the most important guy on offense, you look at Kyle Hamilton, maybe the most important guy on defense, they're both banged up. Does it concern you going into Thursday?
I mean, it concerns Kyle Hamilton's health and Lamar Jackson's health concern me more than any other two Ravens. The Ravens have a bunch of other players. Travis Jones, they can't lose, for example, at one time. But those two guys are the most concerning. Hamilton is playing a little bit of a high-risk position relative to his size and weight. So I think that it's a fair question. the payoff is just so great. The Ravens can't not do it. He's too important, too central to what they do defensively for them to switch him to the back end. And I use the card analogy that he's the ace of trumps, where he plays normally that star position where he's moving between slot corner and weak side linebacker as a dimeback. He's still the queen of hearts if he plays on the back end. You know, he's still a face card, but they're really reducing his value by putting him back there.
Here with Kim McCusick, filmstudybaltimore.com. Since we continue on with this, I agree. If the Ravens don't move him in this position, being Kyle Hamilton, is foolishness, because right now he addresses the need. However, my pushback to the comparison is, back then Earl Campbell was known as being a big running back at 225, 230. Today, we got a running back that's 250. Average offensive line back then, 270. Now, 300-plus. You have to play him this way, where he's playing right now, out of necessity. I just hope necessity doesn't put him in harm's way, because he is, in my opinion, not built for the long haul at the line of scrimmage.
Well, amen on the hope, first of all.
Yeah.
So let's go with that.
Yeah.
And in terms of, it's probably true. You know, we've seen guys play the back end who were tried to be thumpers and were smaller. Bob Sanders being the one that I think is the most
bullet Bob.
He was not meant for a long NFL career in terms of his body type standing up to it. But Hamilton is so unique as an athlete that you have to reach back to a Hall of Fame player like Hendricks, who's so extreme in the other direction. Hendricks is even more extreme on the height and weight scale. But boy, you know, we got a special talent here. We better realize it while it's here.
Are you surprised at all that it's been the defense that has been saving the day here? Because everybody expected the offense to really be, prolific. I mean, just we saw it the last couple of years, and now they're struggling. Lamar looks like he's struggling. Any curiosity about why this is happening? The defense is actually bailing him out.
Right. I think it's pretty clear what's not working for the Ravens offense is that their misdirection weapons are gone without Lamar able to use the read option.
Right.
So if you have a complete commitment and Lamar will pull the ball whenever it's going to be better for him to run it, then you have the most powerful weapon in football, the Lamar Henry mesh point.
Right.
And they have, they've assembled a great group of skill position players. The offensive line is having a down year, in particular in all three interior positions. And Stanley as well, for that matter. From that perspective, I'm not really that surprised. What we shouldn't be surprised about is how many times the defense has been turned around in season by the current regime. Harbaugh and Orr, Harbaugh and McDonald before that, mm-hmm. and Harbaugh and 2019 would have been still
Pease?
No, the guy who went to the Giants. And I'm forgetting his name now, and it's driving me nuts.
Oh, the old Blitzer.
Yeah, it's him.
Oh, my God. I just blanked.
This is the mad crazy. Blitzer. I know you're talking about.
The old defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
All right, so it'll come into our heads simultaneously.
Wink. Probably here. How can we forget a guy that has a name like Wink Martindale?
Yeah.
How about that?
Jeremy Collins, you talked about the running game. He has a question he wanted to ask you about the running backs, Henry and Mitchell. But we'll do it on the other side. Kim McCusick in studio with us, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
there was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original. Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Kim McCusick joins us for FilmStudyBaltimore.com.
Yeah. Overall, what did you think of the running game? I mean, Derrick Henry punches two in. Keaton has the long run that gets called back. Two things. Would you like, obviously, we've all been talking about seeing more of Keaton Mitchell. Do we eventually get to that point? Is Thursday night a good night to do it, especially having an explosive runner like that against the worst rush defense in football? The worst DVOA team in football history, by the way. Mm-hmm. Like, what did you make of the running game, and do you think we're getting... Because when, I thought when Lamar came back, we were just going to see wholesale changes. And we've seen... It's been better, but it hasn't been what I expected.
Right. So they're getting held back by the lack of read option for starters. But he's an important... Mitchell is an important component of misdirection that the Ravens can add, even if they had Joe Flacco at quarterback, say. So yeah. Particularly if you want to run a pony backfield or whatever. He's still an outstanding talent. We really saw this all summer as just this incredibly explosive guy back on the field. And it is exciting to see him finally get some snaps. He had 12 in this game. I think he had 16 in the last game when Hill was out. So they're using him a little bit more. And by the way, 12, 16, that's the range I would expect his snaps to be in with, you know, six or seven carries, hopefully, or six or seven touches, maybe even. But he still looks very explosive. If you go to Henry, which you know, you asked about as well, the big problem this year with Henry, the big difference is his missed tackle rate is way down. It's not like yards before contact or anything like that. It's the missed tackle rate. He had three times the missed tackle rate last year, 0.24 per attempt, as opposed to 0.08 per attempt this year.
Can I ask you, could that have anything to do with, I mean, you talked about it doesn't first contact, but mm-hmm. different type of players that are contacting him early instead of safeties and corners, linebackers, and
also being in the box. More players contacting him up front.
But both true. Yeah. Both true. So if the more they crowd, the more he's going to have trouble breaking multiple tackles or even breaking the first if there's multiple contact there. But you know, he's not making as much of his L2 and L3 first contact opportunities. That's what's kind of been bothering me about his season this year.
We got one more game until DeHenber. So yeah, that's right. Henry's month.
You know, you're saying that the early contact, which leads me to the offensive line. I love Mike Preston's grades. I love your grades as well. You gave Stanley an A. You gave Rosengarten a B. Rest of these guys were some ass.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing wrong with a C in my system, honestly. I know a lot of professors tell you that.
You couldn't have grown up with my mom.
Well, Stanley had his best game of the year, for starters. He was absolutely outstanding. He made a block moving all the way from left tackle to the right sideline to pick up a cornerback that was absolutely outstanding. But he had a good game. Voorhees was fine this game, a C. You don't lose your job over this, that's for sure. He had his streak of 19, actually his 21 consecutive pulls stopped on the final drive of the game. Linderbaum had a bad game. He had a holding penalty, a penetration, 1.5 pressures, didn't look good. Falele, a lot of people want to beat on him every game. 9 missed blocks in this game, which is not good, but he only allowed half a pressure. Had a false start on that last drive also, so C for him. Rosengarten a B. 1 pressure. Lamar ran him out of 2 additional pressures. He ran Stanley out of 1-2. Had 1 false start. He faced a lot of Jermaine Johnson on that right side.
Did you see it on social media where Jermaine Johnson went on and said he was basically eating Rosengarten's lunch all day? He goes, y'all lucky you have 8. He saved y'all. But he was talking trash from social media. That's why I was wondering what you saw on film, because there were other people like Ravens media, media members and whatnot that were posting videos saying, this you? This play right here? You're the one that was eating his lunch? I didn't know if you saw anything there, but it's kind of weird mm-hmm. to see players come out and talk like that on social media.
He takes a wide path to the quarterback, and he's willing to avoid some contact to do it. And I thought we saw a lot of that where he was actually winning on what I call a 12-6 block by the right tackle, or it can be by left tackle either, but the tackle fanning his guy around to 6 o'clock relative to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I thought he was pretty effective doing that.
Okay.
What about Lamar? I mean, you can't sugarcoat what we saw. He didn't have a good game. Is his lack of mobility hurting his passing ability? Because he missed some wide open. He missed D-Hop by, like, I don't know how many yards in the end zone. He missed a wide open Zay Flowers. He just didn't look good. And that's throwing the ball.
Not a good opportunity. Sorry, a really good opportunity set in this game relative to what he's been having. 8 ample time and space and only 6 pressures. He hasn't had a ratio like that in a long time. Last 2 games, he's had only 12% ample time and space. Right. He was 33% this game, which is above, you know, above average. He fell 6 yards short of expectation for that good opportunity set. So that wasn't good. He's normally, you know, ahead of that. It's a difficult thing for the Ravens, for Monken, to figure out how do they have to revamp what they do offensively based on his lack of mobility. It affects the run game, and I think you're right. It affects the pass game as well.
Yeah, with Ken McCusick, filmstudybaltimore.com. All right, Ken. First and goal. You run a single setback. Second and goal, you do it again. Third and goal, you do it for the third consecutive time. And on fourth and goal, as I'm screaming the top of my lungs, where's Ricard? They bring in Ricard. He clears out the entire right side. Henry walks into the end zone. Make it make sense for me.
Well, they got more blocks than just great Ricard on that play, because Falele had a great block and Rosengarten also did, and the kickout block I think was Andrews on that side, but it was as big a hole as you'll ever see on a run play. That was terrific. Maybe some of it is the Jets in terms of how they lined up on that play. I didn't really study it too closely in terms of what they did. You know,
but why not go with your big guy on second? If you're going to go on first down, why wait the fourth down?
I'm all for more Ricard, because point of attack football is what the Ravens have left in the bag if they don't have the misdirection components.
Right.
In play.
Well, that said, that's what I want to get to. Mm-hmm. Exactly what you just said. They don't have that mesh point anymore. So you can't use misdirection plays. You can't fake people the way you were. Like, you know, that fake tush push, say, where everyone went with Lamar and Andrews goes the other way. You have Ricard. Why are we not seeing him, as Rob said, you know, when you're near the goal line? Not just in the red zone. You're knocking on the goal line. You're knocking on the door. Where is he?
For the entire Flacco era, that's what they had in terms of the run game. Was a fullback.
Yeah.
And that's they probably need to go back to more of that. And certainly any team that crowds the line of scrimmage, they need to focus on that being the main thing. The Jets did not crowd the line of scrimmage, which was additionally disturbing in terms of, you know, they generated a pretty good opportunity set for Lamar, and he didn't really come through on it. And then, you know, it doesn't make it as easy to use Ricard when the other team isn't really trying to line up their 8 players or whatever along the line of scrimmage right in the box there.
Okay, what do you learn about the Ravens on Sunday from Sunday and moving forward?
They've got to do some things to change the way they play offensive football to complement the way this defense is playing against these next 3 games in particular, which are going to decide their season, I think. If they win all 3, they're probably in the playoffs, division wins, and they're actually going to be fighting for the number 3 seed in the AFC. I think the Colts are a fraud, and they'll drop out pretty quickly. This is the real season starts on Thursday night, is all I can say. That's the Ravens need to start winning right now, even though they've been winning for all these 5 games in a row.
There you go. Tell us all about Film Study Baltimore, Ken McCusick.
So filmstudybaltimore.com. I'm at Film Study Ravens on Twitter if you want to follow me. And I'm looking for questions to make it a short videos now. So use hashtag Film Study Mailbag if you contact me on Twitter with one of those.
There you go. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. On the Fan, Mike Locksley, head coach of the Maryland Terps, will join us at 9 o'clock. But on the other side, we get stupid with Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a Miss Doubtfire type situation where a son dressed up as his mom. I'll tell you why he did that and how ridiculous this dude looks. We're also going to talk about something we've all been through. We've all gone out and flashed our genitals to drivers on the interstate because we needed excitement in our life. I'll tell you about this young man. And another thing we've all done, shooting at rats out of a second-story window in West Virginia, and it turns into an altercation and someone gets shot in the head. These things always happen to us. Talk about it next in the World of Stupid. All right, let's get dumb. Let's get stupid. Man accused of flashing his genitals to drivers on the interstate said he needed excitement in his life. You guys ever needed that much excitement in your life?
No.
I don't know. This was a guy thing.
Yeah, it's just his
women name, have a habit of doing that.
But. Yeah. Danan Ari. A-R-Y. Ari?
I don't know.
30 is charged with 2 counts of indecent exposure. I guess they could have arrested me, too, because I told that story about the time my brother picked me up after my shift at the pizza shop, mm-hmm. and we were driving to West Virginia. And that night, I don't know what I ate, but my stomach started going bubble guts left and right. So I told my brother he had to pull over. I go into a 7-Eleven. It's right off of like either 70 or 95. It was so long ago, I don't remember, and I didn't know streets that well back then, or highways. So we're driving down the road. He pulls off at this 7-Eleven, and I go in and I ask, can I use the bathroom? And they say, nope. There's no employees only. I'm like, guys, I offered the guy $20 to let me use his bathroom. He said, no. So I run outside and I got to go and I just drop my drawers and start, as I say, salad shooting. Just, it was just awful. And I hear horns honking. I look back. I'm basically crapping in front of everybody that's on the highway. They all could see me, bright lights, ass just hanging out. Yeah, just a very enjoyable time there. So, but with this guy, he said, court files allege Ari did this 2 days in a row. The second incident was reported around 3:30 p.m. October 15th in the northbound lane of Interstate 380. Like, he didn't even go on the side of the road. He went to the highway. He's like, here you go. Check that out. A Johnson County sheriff's deputy said he admitted to the
for this story.
Offense. I didn't even pick that up. That's really good. Fulfilling excitement that was currently missing in his life. My life's so boring, I have to show people my wiener. That's what makes it exciting? I've been missing out then, apparently. All right. How about this story? Two brothers. These guys. Two brothers are shooting at rats out of a second-story window, and it results in one of the men getting shot in the head.
Ooh.
That's right. Hancock County Sheriff's Office is investigating a shooting that occurred Tuesday morning. When deputies arrived, they found two men and a woman inside the home. The one man was living in the living room while the woman and the second man were upstairs. The injured man was standing at the top of the stairs holding a towel to his head. Emergency medical crews treated the man for what appeared to be a gunshot wound to the head. Did he pull the old Dick Cheney and just turn and shoot him? What the hell? After speaking with the other two individuals, deputies determined the shooting was not accidental. The two men had reportedly been using small caliber rifles to shoot at rats from a second story window. While handling the rifle, it discharged, hitting one of the men in the head.
So it is accidental.
They said it says not accidental here, but that has to be. It has to be a misprint.
Yeah.
I thought I read it wrong.
If I shot someone and I wasn't aiming for you, that's accident.
Well, he said Mark Fuller, the homeowner, was arrested and charged with one count of wanton endangerment with a firearm.
Yeah, that's kind of a reckless. That's not intentional. That's a reckless count.
Okay, so I don't know. Again,
I'm saying it's a mistake in the article. Yeah. When you say wanton endangerment, it just means you there's a risk and you perceive it and you ignore it.
Yeah. I had one other story I wanted to throw in here. You guys remember the guy that injected his biceps and they called him Popeye?
Yes, I do.
Do you know what's happening to him now?
Couldn't imagine. He was bizarre.
He's going to lose both his arms.
Is he really?
Yep. If you miss it, there's the guy that injected. They called him the Russian Popeye. He looks ridiculous. I don't know why he felt like he looked good. He's going to lose both his arms because of a severe infection. Kirill Tarishin, 29, has been told he may need double amputation after years of injecting them with Synthol. What the freakish-looking gym-goer shared stomach-churning footage of how his bicep had burst, leaving a large hole with tissue damage. And when I say his arms look ridiculous, they looked absurd. Like a kid that takes balloons and puts them in his his shirt.
They were hideous. They weren't properly shaped. It was just deformed.
Look, you can see it. I can't turn it all the way down, Rob. But look at those. You know the guy. Yeah. It's just, it's awful, man. So I wanted to bring him up too here briefly, but like doing stupid things. I just saw some girl talked about she had her 6th BBL.
Hmm.
How much are you going under the knife to try to look a certain way, man? It's just unbelievable. The freakish-looking bodybuilder previously lamented his stupidity for injecting his biceps and was warned that he might die if the toxic substance isn't removed. So, now he's might be without arms. It's just a terrible, terrible story the way that one ends. Now,
it's changing him to Bob.
Maybe Neil. All right, so let's go to this story. And again, this is a woman died. And her son was trying to collect her pension, so he dressed up as his dead mom with a little Mrs. Doubtfire. Oh, hello!
I'm Anthony Perkins. Yeah.
Help is on the way, dear. It was run by fruiting. Anyway, an unemployed son he's unemployed. Son impersonated his dead mother to collect thousands of euros a year from pension in what Italian authorities are dubbed as Mrs. Doubtfire. No, it just says Mrs. Doubtfire scandal ahead. I'm sorry. 56-year-old man who was not identified. Yep, there he is. I see him. He looks, by the way, Who did his makeup? It just looks like somebody took, like, what is it, foundation? Is that what it's called? Yeah. And just rubbed it all over his face. He looks just brown in the face. He's got on a fake wig and these clip-on earrings. He didn't even put on lipstick, Chief. The con artist.
Did his mom wear lipstick?
I don't know. Hold on.
It does look like her, though.
There is a picture of him and his mom. Yeah, she wore lipstick.
Okay.
Yeah, because she had short hair. The 56-year-old man was not identified, carried out the ruse after his mom died 3 years ago as he concealed her mummified corpse at their family home. You nailed it. Little Anthony Perkins there, a little psycho. The con artist's mother, Graziella Dali Oglio, passed away at 82 years, and her son never reported her death. He instead stuffed her corpse in a sleeping bag and stashed it in the laundry room at their home, the outlet reported. Man, there's a lot of crazy-ass people in this world. You don't know who's living next door to you.
You don't.
And when it said the Mrs. Doubtfire-style transformation, He's trying to look a certain way, but the official autopsy is not concluded yet to talk about what went on with the mom and see if there was any foul play.
Yeah.
The son is being investigated for illegally concealing her body and benefit fraud. It's not immediately clear if he was going to be arrested. There you go. That's your world of stupid.
That's got to be a pretty sick individual.
Yeah.
That's a sick individual, man.
Your mother's dead. You're stuffing a duffel bag or whatever.
What was he? He was an unemployed 56-year-old man. Mm-hmm. Living with his mom. She's just a good gal. But look, it's just a crazy sad story. I wanted to bring this up. I was talking to you guys off the air. I saw Lane Kiffin's comments. I think he's gone.
Give us the comments.
So here's the quote from Lane Kiffin, basically. And there's more to this, by the way. It's a different generation, guys. They can leave every year. A lot of that is financial based. They don't think it the traditional way, like years ago, about their coach, what's going to go on with them next year. He feels like even if he's going to leave, he should be allowed to coach those kids the rest of the season. But I think he said the quiet part out loud. If you're talking about why you should be allowed to coach, even if you're leaving, I think you're leaving.
You're leaving.
And I think he's going to Florida.
This goes back to what I was saying last year with Kevin Willett in Maryland. Everyone's he's distracting the team. I don't think so, because these guys don't come in thinking 4 years anymore. Those guys, when they heard about Willard, they probably thought, okay, where am I going to go next? They made it all the way to what, the Elite Eight?
No, Maryland. They lost the Sweet 16.
They lost to the team that eventually won the national championship. I don't think they were distracted. I think they were outmanned. They were outperformed by a better team. I just don't think players today look at it the way we do, because they grew up in this. We didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have anything to compare it to. This is what they grew up in.
Might compare his comments or combine them with that the house under contract in Gainesville. The most expensive house in Gainesville, Florida, is under contract.
And who owned it before?
Dan Mullen.
Yep.
It just to me, it's like, hey, that's a lot of evidence.
I mean, when
you're
thinking about the big names that are out there, like, well, James Franklin already signed. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some coaches, some big name coaches that got fired. Unless someone's coming out of retirement that we're not talking about,
or that house.
There's a head coach coming from the NFL to college that we don't know about. It makes me believe that Lane Kiffin is going to be that guy.
See, I think what it would require for that house to be under contract and be for that next coach, I think it would require someone who is either in college right now or who's out of coaching right now, not involved with an NFL team. It's just too much work to put in if you're involved in an NFL team and interviewing for college.
I just find it very odd that the house that is under contract is the former Florida football coach's house.
And you know those guys know one another.
Of course they do.
And all of them do.
Maybe a booster owns that house. You know, and this is just something they hold on to for the coaches. I don't know what's going on, but
how do you spell that?
A booster.
A booster.
B-U-O-O-S-T-A-H.
Oh, okay. They did have the H on the end.
Booster.
The H is silent, guys.
Silent H.
I love it.
Winter, Booster, Baker, the trifecta.
You forgot about one. Florida.
Florida.
Mike Locksley joins us at 9, but on the other side, are you surprised to hear Elias say the Mountcastle is in the team's plan for 2026? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. I'm sorry, I just like letting that play. Let's wake you up in the morning music. Are you surprised, Ed, that Mike Elias says Ryan Mountcastle is in the team's 2026 plans?
No, I'm not.
Why not?
Because I think he's a very good defensive first baseman who's got power, albeit inconsistent. I don't find that, because I think, you know, your other first baseman would be on the trading block.
Now, see, I couldn't hit the curveball in college, but I can hit the curveball now. That's what Mike is throwing everybody, a curveball. Hey, we want to get rid of Ryan Mountcastle. That ain't a good ingredient for getting rid of Ryan Mountcastle. Jeremy, I think Ryan Mountcastle is in the team's 2026 plans of getting traded.
Do you? I think he's in their plans of being their, like, backup first baseman or whatever. I think there's going to be some sort of hybrid. And maybe he's comes in situationally. But again, if that's not the case, then I agree with you. I don't know. You know,
well, if that's not the case, you have to agree with him.
Well, I know. I'm just saying, like, they could have just released him or whatever. Yeah. I know they tendered him. But again, like, I think there's more trades coming. I don't know if he's involved in it. He could benefit from something if someone gets traded, because let's be honest, the thing that has the most value right now that I believe you're willing to trade at the major league level is Coby Mayo.
Yeah. You can't.
Hypothetically. Say the, I mean, I'm wishing this. They get Pete Alonso. You have a first baseman now.
Can't have either one of those guys.
Well, you wouldn't have Mayo, but you could have Mountcastle.
That's what I'm saying. He'd be more apt to play that role of playing situationally, I think.
So I don't know.
Maybe he wouldn't be happy, but again, like, if you're trading one of the guys, the one that has the most value is the young player.
I don't think so, because you got Samuel Basayo. He's that other first baseman.
You know what?
So,
you're right. You're 100% right.
He's got to go.
I didn't even think about Basayo going to first.
He's got to go. I mean, and you can't announce to the baseball world after you just tended a man. Nah, he's not in our plans. He's not in our plans.
What if Adley's getting traded?
That could be a possibility. Don't think so.
I don't either.
Could be. But you can't. Mike Elias can't say, yeah, we tended him, but we're not going to keep him. Okay, how do you trade him? How do you make him sound attractive? You got to say, yeah, he's in our 2026 plans. Because even if it's the plan to trade, you're not lying. You can't tip your hand as a GM. They tendered him, so he's in their plans. I don't believe that he'll be on the team very long after the calendar year of 2026 begins, but he is definitely in their plans. I just don't think you can have – if I'm with Ed in this. On my Christmas list, and they can do it before Christmas if they want – it's Pete Alonso. He is on my – listen, man, you just signed a guy that can hit 30-something bombs, traded for him. Now you get a guy that can hit 40-something bombs.
Yeah.
And you put those guys – you stack them batting fourth and fifth in your lineup behind Gunnar Henderson, behind Jordan Westberg, behind Jackson Holliday.
Yeah.
Or you put fourth – you slot Adley Rutschman in fifth, and you put the other guy – Tito at six.
Yeah, I saw a lineup that had Basayo batting eighth, and I'm like, if that's the case, then you're going to have a pretty damn good lineup.
Like the Dodgers lineup.
That's, you know, so I want Pete Alonso.
Can I ask a serious question here?
They get Pete Alonso, it's going to be a launching pad at Camden Yards, man. It's going to be – do you understand how many home runs Pete Alonso represents in his lineup? Not just the 40 that he's going to hit. He's going to tack on 5 to 10 more home runs on a couple of these batters.
The protection.
Man.
You're going to see more fastballs because of it. You fall behind in counts. You can't get cute and put guys on base because walks turn into 2 and 3 run home runs.
Exactly.
And so I wanted to ask you this question, you both can answer it, and I'll give you my opinion on it too. How good is Colton Cowser? Like, what type of player do we have? Because, again, if he's going to be our center fielder and he's getting penciled in that lineup, plenty of pop. I hate saying this for a guy that I think should have won Rookie of the Year, and I'm not saying move on from him now. It all depends on what comes up. But do you feel comfortable with him being your everyday center fielder?
No, I feel comfortable with him being in the lineup. I don't want him in center field.
I mean, he grades out fairly well in center field. I mean, he does. Like, we could say what we want. Like, there are a lot of people, including myself, I thought Cedric Mullins was better. Technically, he grades out better.
Thought he's better than Cedric Mullins.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, is that mainly because of his arm?
No, I think the last 2 years, Cedric Mullins made a lot of great plays, but a lot of balls fell that shouldn't have fallen.
Like, so like, my, I mean, again.
Ed and I literally had this argument.
Yeah.
We literally had this, him huffing and puffing over there, but we literally had this argument.
Because, like, I've heard rumors about Jacoby Ellsbury's not getting traded within the division. I don't think he's coming here. Ellsbury. Listen to me.
Who?
Jaron Duren. God bless it. How old am I? Jaron Duren. Hey, it was a white center fielder with the
Red
Sox.
Exactly, dude. That's racist.
That's not racist.
That is racist.
It's not.
White center fielder, if you white center fielder, you're Jacoby Ellsbury?
Yes. You often hurt. No, Jaron Duren's not getting traded. Neither is Ellsbury. I think he's retired. Stephen Kwan.
There's a lot of right there you're talking about.
Yeah. Stephen Kwan?
Uh-huh.
What about him? That's a true leadoff hitter that you have.
You think they want to part with him?
Yes.
Yeah. He's a left fielder, though.
He plays center.
Look at that lineup, Ed Pete Alonso.
Yeah, see? You drop, you put Pete Alonso fourth. You switch Tito down to six. You put Adley in between those two guys. Man, that's a party.
Think about
that's a party.
I hate to keep talking this because if it doesn't happen, it'd be
next man up.
Alonso hits in one of the tougher home run parks in
and still puts that up.
Yes.
And he hit 53 in his career first year.
And you know what he's learned to do lately?
He's hit 46.
You know what he's learned to do lately?
Hit.
Go the opposite way.
Can I also tell you something about that division? Braves, hitter park. Phillies, hitter park. Marlins, pitcher's park. Nats, pitcher's park. Nats probably middle of the pack. Mm-hmm. This division, we have the best pitcher's park in this division.
Yeah.
And this is a hitter's park.
Yeah, it's a hitter's park.
Yeah. So, but it's the best of all of them in terms of pitchers, friendliest. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Hey, man. I'm kind of surprised they brought him back. I figured he'd be down in, you know, he'd be a Tampa Bay Ray, you know, this season. But I'm happy back. I like the guy.
That's tendering him is not bringing him back. I know what you're saying. Technically, you're right, Rashawn. But you can't trade him if you don't tender him.
Oh, so they could possibly still trade him, though.
Yes, they had. You have to tender him to own his rights for next year to offer him arbitration. Therefore, now you can trade him. If you non-tender him, then he's on the streets now, and you get nothing for him. I don't care what Ryan Mountcastle has not done.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Mountcastle in a trade situation, not one for one, and he adds to what you get in return.
Yeah.
So I think that's the. In my opinion, Rashawn, they brought him back to trade him.
Yeah, hello.
Yep.
Yeah. So what about Suarez though? Like, so, yeah, I got three. Yeah. What about Suarez and
Suarez was non-tendered.
Didn't tender him.
He was non-tendered.
So I was surprised about that, man, because they used the depth and the guy. I know he was injured last year and everything, but
can I offer what I think with Suarez? If they want him, I'm not making a prediction. Rashawn, you got a lot of noise in the background. I'm not making a prediction, but this is what you could do with Suarez. He's injured right now, right? Who's going to sign him?
I mean, even if he wasn't injured, there's still questions. Somebody would sign him,
you could still offer him a non-major league roster spot to spring training. You could do a lot of different things to Suarez. why tend to him when he's injured? You don't quite know when he's going to be back.
And you know, the other thing is, like, people, we've said this for a long period of time, stop falling in love with everything you have. Like, it's, you can't get better than that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember all the people last year when they traded Ramon to Houston. I can't believe you're doing that. Why, you're not even trying. Why would you do that?
And it's got like three letters for you. DFA.
That's what they did with him at the end of the year.
That's what Houston
did. And he
did.
Wasn't an everyday player for him. He would pinch hit and come in. Every once in a while, he'd get a start.
I love him, but I'm not in love with him. And you know why I want Albert Suarez here, don't you?
Because you want the other Suarez.
Yeah, I thought he could help us recruit Robert.
Yeah. Is he related to Ranger, too?
No, I don't think so.
Let's get all the Suarez's. Or as Rashawn would say, all the Suarez's.
Daily Line with Jeremy Conn at 9:30, but on the other side, we're talking Maryland football with Mike Locksley on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.